Christ Jesus, who gives us his body and blood in this simple and yet majestic meal of his supper, dear fellow redeemed. Most of us know by heart the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper, probably because we hear it so often, at least once a month, and a few other times in our communion services. Maybe because it was assigned to you in your confirmation class to memorize that section of Scripture. But let's listen to it again. This time, listen carefully to the simple words and actions, but also note the splendor and the glory. Our text this evening is from Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We've entitled our theme this evening, "The Savior's Feast." And our first point is, this is a feast which is so simple that we may miss its glory. Could anything be more simple? The disciples were going to celebrate the annual Passover with their Savior. So they asked Jesus, "Where should we celebrate it?" And Jesus told them what to do. They would celebrate in an upper room, as they had done for the last 3 years, and as the disciples had done, no doubt, all their life. It was an exciting time for a Jewish person to celebrate the Passover. It was a central worship service, a celebration of the Old Covenant. It was an annual reminder of God's grace to the Israelites way back when they were in slavery in Egypt, and how God had told them to take from their flocks that one-year-old male lamb, a perfect specimen of a lamb, and sacrifice it, eat it without breaking any bones, and then take the blood and sprinkle it all over the threshold of the doors of their homes. It was indeed a great festival, celebrating a great action of the Lord, deliverance and freedom. But tonight was a little bit different. After that ancient feast was finished, Jesus instituted a new feast. After that celebration of the old covenant was done, Jesus celebrated a new covenant with them. He did this so very simply that you wonder how many of those disciples really fully comprehended and understood the importance of what he did. Probably not very many. Remember what they were doing just prior to that Passover meal? Arguing among themselves. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Very sad. And then Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." So now their mind was filled with all kinds of anguish and wonderment, anxiety about who it is and what he meant by that betrayal. As you said, this institution, the Lord's Supper, was so simple that it would have been easy to pass it by and treat it lightly. Without any grandiose theatrics, there was no flashing of light, no puff of smoke, Jesus instituted this sacrament simply by taking the simplest bread, unleavened bread, the bread that was used for the Passover, bread without yeast, taking it and breaking off chunks of the bread and giving it to his disciples one by one, and then saying to them, "This is my body." He didn't explain it. He didn't say, "This symbolizes or pictures my body." He didn't say, "This bread has now disappeared and now changed into my body." He just simply said, "This is my body." He didn't tell them to honor or worship that bread, he just simply said, take and eat. And then he took the cup of wine that they had used for the Passover meal as well, and he simply said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He makes no further explanation. Doesn't say, this symbolizes my blood. Doesn't say, it's no longer wine, there's now changed into my blood. He just simply says, this is my blood of the new covenant. Again, he doesn't say, worship or honor that. He just simply said, drink from it, all of you. You know, it's so very, very simple, this meal, that maybe we too sometimes miss the glory and the splendor. There's a glory, beyond our puny understanding. Here's the Lamb of God, the one who's going to give his life for the sins of the whole world, standing there and saying, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Jesus is giving in this feast, this new feast, the assurance of forgiveness of sins. This is my blood for the remission of sins. Here is the Lamb of God who gives himself as food for eternal life. Not merely as paint for a doorpost to save physical life. But so many miss the glory of the Lord's Supper. And the very fact that we celebrate every Maundy Thursday, as well as many other times throughout the year, every year, it can happen that we too sometimes may cause to think of it as being not very special. Kind of ordinary. We have it so often. Over the years, we may forget the true significance of this meal. We may even partake of it in an empty way, just by simply going through the motions. You know, there is no outward glory in this meal. It's so very simple. So we need to ask ourselves this evening, why am I coming to the Lord's Supper tonight? Is it because that's the thing that Lutherans do every Maundy Thursday? Is it because it's become a habit for us to do? Well, Jesus makes the purpose very clear. He shows us his glory in his words. Listen to those words. We pray those words are impressed deeply into our hearts, remembered by us that every time we come to the Lord's Supper, we're thinking about the words that Jesus tells us concerning the Lord's Supper and focusing on one thing, and that's Jesus' death on the cross, where he shed his very body and blood to earn for us the forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus is giving in this sacrament his last will and testament. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is the Savior's feast. The second point is, this is a feast that is itself the price of our salvation. Think about it. This was Jesus' last will and testament just before he died. He didn't have any stocks and bonds. He had no family china or gold or silver, and no land. We heard last Wednesday that the only thing he did own was his clothes, and that was even taken from him when he died on the cross. There's nothing in Jesus' estate that is worth anything except himself. And so that's what he gives to his disciples and to us as our inheritance. He gives himself. So his last will and testament to us is This is my body. This is my blood given for you. And who is the for you? Each one of you. And also me. On this night, as Jesus was there in that upper room, just think of all the things that were going through Jesus' mind. He clearly saw the crown of thorns, the whipping, the mockery, the betrayal, the denial, the cross, being forsaken by his Father. He saw that when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was going to happen. And even with all of that on his mind, he's thinking of you. And he's thinking of me in this wondrous sacrament. He spoke his last will and testament. He made you and me his beneficiaries. There'd be nothing else to give to us of things. He gave himself to us and for us. Look at this feast. Listen again, what is Jesus saying? This is my body. This is my blood for you. We don't eat a symbol of his body and blood in this feast. No, it's the real, the true, the living Son of God and Mary's Son in and with the bread and the wine. It's the same Jesus who's sitting there next to them, probably lying there next to them as they leaned on their couches for it to eat, and saying, this is my body and blood shed for you. And the next day, he went to shed it for them so that that sacrament of the Lord's Supper would be applicable for all time until the end of time. This is the same Jesus then that next day who was hanging on a cross, who was still thinking about you and me when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the same Savior thinking about us when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That anguish question was not for him to answer, but for us to realize God the Father forsook his Son because that's the way God planned our salvation. God the Father forsook his Son because his Son, in obedience, willingly took upon himself damnation for all of our sins. And all around him, besides his mother and a few of the believers, all the rest were saying to him, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save yourself. You saved others, save yourself. Why didn't he? It's so very simple. Because the night before, he willed and bequeathed himself to you and to me. He had declared in his unalterable will that he would never, never leave us. And the only way that that goal could be reached, the only way that that body and blood could be together with the bread and wine throughout all time, would be for him to be sacrificed upon that cross, to be separated from his Father and endure hell for all of us. The world passes by the Lord's Supper in complete confusion and also quite disdain. They attack us by saying, how can Jesus really be present in the bread and wine? That's impossible. Over the history of the New Testament, Christians have even been accused of cannibalism, eating flesh, drinking blood. And there's even Christians who don't understand and are confused by the Lord's Supper. They doubt that Christ's body and blood is present. They don't believe there's forgiveness involved in the Lord's Supper. Some believe that they've got to prepare themselves by being good enough to come to the Lord's Supper, that it's their sacrifice for Jesus by their good works that then earn God's love, and don't see that it's Jesus' sacrifice for them that's being given in this marvelous sacrament of ours. I'm sure there are many people in our community here that have no idea why we celebrate Lord's Supper on this day we call Maundy Thursday. But thankfully, we see our Savior God. And in the simplicity of this Lord's Supper, we see the glory, we see the splendor, we see our Savior giving himself miraculously in bread and wine for us to eat and to drink, to receive the assurance of forgiveness of sins, all because Jesus did it on the cross. It's that spiritual food that gives us eternal life. That's why he came down from heaven, to earn for us forgiveness. That's why he died upon a cross, to earn for us forgiveness. Here is a glory and a grandeur that is greater than all the wealth the world has to offer. Greater than all the medicine you could take, because this spiritual wealth and this spiritual medicine gives us forgiveness, everlasting life, and salvation. Therefore, we come. We come with broken hearts. Broken hearts because of our sins. Repenting of our sins, seeing our guilt, feeling our shame. And we come with hungry hearts and souls to eat of that spiritual food, Christ's body and blood, with the bread and wine. With thirsty souls, parched dry, wanting that water of life. We come to eat and to drink of the price of our salvation in this blessed feast. And then we go, ever clinging to our Lord and our Savior, who had nothing to give us but himself. We go clinging to our Lord and Savior, who on the night in which he was betrayed, thought of nobody but you and me. Go, never forget that this is his last will and testament, made for all of us throughout eternity, heirs of Christ, eternal life. And also go with this gift of his body and blood, blessing us, strengthening us, preserving us in our battle against Satan, the sinful world, and our own sinful flesh, and assuring us of everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.